Mental health and wellness are crucial aspects of well-being. Their understanding and acceptance are vital for the progress of society. In a cultural context, mental health is often shrouded in stigma and misunderstanding, leading to a lack of proper support and care for those affected. Heal Your Mind with Tracy Kotzen is a platform for candid conversations that enlighten and enrich our understanding of mental health and wellness. Join us as we demystify, destigmatize, prioritize, and shine a light on mental health and healing. Heal Your Mind podcast with Tracy Kotzen is hosted by Mental Wellness Initiative and supported by the Ford Foundation.
Welcome to Heal Your Mind with me, Tracy Kotzen. Today I'm joined by Shashina Bray, who is the Director of Programs and Partnerships at the Me Too Movement, based out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Shashina, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
You and I are sitting at the SVRI Forum 2024, where Me Too Movement has brought an incredible contribution to the space. And I'm dying to get into that conversation, but I'd actually first want to hear a little bit about you as being part of the team behind what is been a global phenomenon, actually. I would go as far as to say it's been the single largest global anti-gender-based violence movement, to my mind, in the history of time.
Yeah, that definitely makes me take a breath.
Right? It's a moment for pause. What is your role in the Me Too movement? What is your passion around this work?
Well, thank you so much for having me. When you ask this question about my role and the impact of Me Too and the Me Too movement, it feels important to name that first and foremost, I stand on the shoulders of giants. Me Too International stands on the shoulders of giants. That our work, while the hashtag went viral in 2017, that work began in 2006 with a very clear understanding from Tarana, who saw a need amongst Black women and girls, specifically Black girls at the time, that their voices were not being heard in this larger movement around gender-based violence. Mm. Oftentimes we talk about when the U.S. is named in conversations related to sexual violence is usually as an oversight eye, a third party, someone inputting on the conversation, but not being involved in the conversation as an actor or and really as a bad actor. And so the work of Me Too is framed in healing and action so that we can, one, highlight the experiences of Black women and girls and femmes in the U.S. and connect that with the experiences of other Black women and girls in the Global South, and to, two, also bring a lens of healing and action into this work. So if you stopped by our booth or you participated in our Brave Room activities yesterday, you understand that we talk a lot about well-being, and not from a superficial place. We understand that we do live under capitalism and anything can be exploited, and yes, the wellness industrial complex, and yes, self-care has been glamorized as this very selfish thing, and we're not talking about that. We're talking about healing. And yes, we often say, and we will repeat over and over, and so if you've heard this before, I'm glad you hear it again, that for us, we believe that healing is an action in of itself. And for many survivors, their first action will be their own healing. Mm. And for some, that may be it. For some, they'll be empowered through their healing process to move on and do other types of advocacy work, which is amazing. But we want to ensure first that there's an understanding that as survivors, your healing and well-being matters, and the restoration of whatever that is, safety or calm or capacity or the ability to create, that you're spending time with that, and that is valuable. And so we spend a lot of time creating resources for survivors to do that, to mm-hmm. think about their healing and well-being. We have over 908 resources available on our website, metoomovement.org. These are specifically state-based resources that people in the U.S. can search. We also have free downloadable toolkits that anyone around the world can download. We also have an amazing self-guided healing platform called Survivor's Sanctuary that's also free and available to anyone who's interested. And so a lot of what we've been doing today is bringing this lens of healing and action to SVRI and welcoming people into the work that we're doing, not only politically, but in the area of healing and well-being as well.
Hmm. I so appreciated when you said the well-being is not superficial, because if one more person says to me, yes, I'm going to take a bubble bath tonight, I'm like, no, yes. that is not it. That's not exactly what we're talking about. We're not talking about getting your nails done mm-hmm. or putting a candle next to your bathtub. We're talking about the courage to step into the healing work, because healing's hard work.
It's difficult. Yeah.
Right? It could be the hardest work of your life.
Absolutely.
And it may unleash something in you. You know, a lot of people then become really powerful as activists, as wellness practitioners mm-hmm. themselves. And then for others, it's really just, it's the gift to myself, so I can show up better as a parent,
absolutely.
You know, in the workplace, as a colleague, all of that stuff. So I'm so glad that Me Too's focus is on the healing work, because I think there are not enough voices in the space talking about healing. They talk about healing modalities and healing mm-hmm. practices, but it still sounds superficial, at least to my ear.
Yeah.
And we're trying to push the drilling down. How do you drill down into the healing instead of trying to keep it this broad, flat kind of thing? Are there ways in which we can capacitate and enable people to actually do healing work?
Yeah. So I think with that, the first, you know, people talk about being trauma-informed. There are lots of principles behind that. But I think the biggest principle in being trauma-informed is choice. And so we try to create as much choice as possible for survivors to enter and to continue and to deepen their healing work. What we might offer might just be one speck on a much larger journey, and we're grateful to be a part of that right. process. And so I think people having as many avenues as possible to enter, whether it's listening to a podcast like this, whether it's going to a seminar, whether it's sitting down with someone for 5 minutes who just knows how to listen to you, that is creating choice for survivors in their healing. And in our healing, in our philosophy of healing, we know that healing is not an individual thing. We heal best in community, right?
Yes, yes.
And that when we're healing ourselves, we're also healing forward into the future and also healing past generations. And so this iterative up, down, left, right experience of healing is ugly. It is difficult, but we invite people in to find themselves in that work, where whatever, at whatever age, whatever stage of their development, or wherever they're in their healing journey. That's why for some people are just getting started. Some people have been doing this and they're grateful to have someone else who's just cheering them on, or to have a new resource. For some people, this is brand new. I've had some really interesting conversations here with people who are saying, like, I know this is true. I know I should be doing this, but I'm not surrounded by other people who have the same understanding. I don't feel as comfortable or as safe in the homes or the spaces that I'm going back to be able to really take care of myself, whether that's just asserting a boundary, mm-hmm. whether that's moving a little bit more slowly, whether that's being able to be firm in a no or to be firm in a yes, that oftentimes we're going back into spaces that muddle that for us. And mm-hmm. so wherever we can create a safety and say, you're not wrong. How you're feeling is not incorrect. You have a right to feel that way. Yes, you're tired. And if you're tired, that means you require rest.
Mm-hmm.
That feels really vital in the work that we're
yes,
doing.
Yes, yes. What are the three things from just a movement building? So you said the work started in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And the world seemed to wake up to it just over a decade mm-hmm. later. And it looked like Me Too had just arrived on the scene and popped out of the woodwork. And suddenly there's this viral movement.
Yeah.
But there was a heck of a lot of work that went into it before that. And there's a lot of interest in South Africa around movement. But I've seen the hashtag join the movement on mm-hmm, different organizations, mm-hmm. sort of marketing collateral. Mm-hmm. And it bugs me because that's not how it works. You know, movements happen, in my mind, when people believe mm-hmm. in your messaging. And over time, they join you. They join you. And you're not, you know, hashtag join the movement type of thing. What would be your advice to South African organizations who are trying to start movements of their own?
First, what are the movements that are already present, right? Is there is there something that needs to be born or created, or is there something that already exists that needs to be imbibed with new energy and new ideas, right? New ways of looking at old problems. Sometimes it can be easy to, you know, replicate the wheel. And so, I think also one setting out, to just be very clear in your focus. What made the Me Too movement so powerful is that it was survivor focused. It wasn't about we need to build a movement. The movement grew out of the intention to center the needs of survivors, to center the experiences and stories and the leadership of survivors. Mm-hmm. That's what created the movement. And so having a very clear focus on what is driving your work, how you embody those qualities is what creates the movement. People see that, they experience it, and they feel that, and they want to be a part of it. Yes. And so they bring their intellect, they bring their talents, they bring their skills from whatever divergent areas that is into the work, and that really creates the movement. So I think it's hard to set out and say, we're going to create a movement. I think all of us are more successful in our ability to move people to action beyond mobilization through really being committed to an issue area, to really being committed and embodying the values that you're communicating to others. Yeah.
So I want to summarize that also for my own understanding. You come around an issue and present solutions to that in such a way that it feels authentic. It feels like there's depth here, there's authenticity here, there's realness here. And when people see that it resonates, right? It can resonate intellectually, on a spiritual level, on your soul level, emotional level. And when people resonate with something, then they opt into supporting
that.
As opposed to trying to get subscribers. And I've got these air hashtags going on. So it's really about not hooking people in. That's terrible terminology. But people join something they believe in.
Yeah, capturing the spirit in the kindest way, right? Capturing the heart and minds of people.
Yes.
That's what moves them to action. And so I think the other thing I would just layer on to that is bringing people together through that inspiration is the first layer. But then once you have them, then that's when the organization comes in, right? That's when you start to implore strategy so that you can then take the ideas and the skills that are coming into the work and figure out how do we start to apply this to the issue. And that's the next level of the movement building. It's not just the mobilizing people and getting them to feel good and feel inspired, but then also getting them to commit to the work. And allowing people to act out in their highest good. Like whatever it is that you bring to the table, we want you to do that really amazingly in this work.
What would you say has been the biggest challenge within the Me Too movement?
It's very easy. The misconception.
Okay.
So often, we always say that like a third of our work is just clarifying to people who we are and what we do. So Me Too International is a Black feminist organization focused on the needs of Black women, femmes, and girls in the U.S., and that is our focus, but we understand that many people will benefit from the from whatever we create for Black women, girls, and femmes. Our focus is survivors. Our focus is not perpetrators. We are not spending our days going online to name bad actors or to participate and call out culture. Our desire is to focus survivors. What do survivors need? When we hear about incidences in the news, unfortunately, as frequent as they are, we're thinking about, well, what's happening with the survivor in that story? The media is clearly going to cover the bad actor in that story, but few times people are saying, what's happening to that survivor whose name is being used over and over. Right? What's happening to that survivor who's now all over the internet? We're thinking about that person's experience and what they might need. And so that's been the hardest part, is getting people to understand that is our focus. We're focused on healing and action. And that action flows into how we help people to understand that this issue of sexual violence is not a singular issue area, and it's not just happening in one place. Sexual violence is a public health crisis.
Yes.
So we want to bring people into that conversation intentionally. We want to make sure that people understand that when we talk about survivor justice, we are talking about not just people doing gender justice work, but we're also talking about people doing environmental justice work. We're also talking about people doing immigration work. We're also talking about people in education, because survivors are in all of that. And we want to make sure that all of these other social justice movements also have a lens around survivorship. And so that's the hard part, is getting people to understand that is the work that we're doing. That is what we are focused on.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that, because I do think there is a misconception. I got into a debate with, well, it wasn't a debate, because I was just suddenly horrified, actually. Someone, you know, voicing their views on what they think Me Too is about. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know what, I can't actually engage in this conversation, because please Google properly and then go on the website, read up about, don't just believe everything you hear.
And we laugh about that, because it's like, it's a very quick Google search. You don't even have to dig that deep to really find out. You don't have to dig very deep to actually find out about who we are, what we're focused on, and the history. Very quick Google search.
Right, right. And we encourage people, please go and find the actual facts, exactly. Not the manufactured facts. Shashina, as we just start to wrap up this conversation, what wisdom would you like to leave on South African soil? What do you think that's the whole question? What is the wisdom? Something we cannot Google. And I love doing this in my interviews, because so much can be Googled.
Yes.
But how do we speak to someone's heart and soul on something that cannot ever be Googled?
Yeah.
What is that?
That may be emotional, because I feel honored when you say to leave something on South African soil. I'm just grateful to be here, to be on South African soil, to be in a country with such rich history for so many different reasons. Mm-hmm. And so more than anything, I'm grateful. Like that's my first relationship to this experience, is deep, deep gratitude to be in this space. And so what I would leave behind, I think, is what I try to leave behind in all spaces, which is thank you for who you are, and that you have inherent value. You have inherent worth just by the nature of your being, not because you do all these things, and some of which are amazing. Thank you for those things as well. But you have inherent worth and value, and somebody sees you. And it may be hard to determine who that person is, or maybe you're still locating them, but somebody sees you, you're loved. And as basic as that is, I really feel like that's what's missing in a lot of our, in this epidemic of loneliness and disconnection that plagues many of us in many different countries, being reminded that, you're loved, you're a part of community. And sometimes it does require some discomfort to tap into that community. But I just want to keep reminding people to be hopeful and to try to find those like minds, and to maybe open those windows or those doors to allow perhaps those positive experiences in, even after perhaps you've experienced harm from other people. That is the beauty of life, like to really be able to live life, to find those moments of joy, to find moments of gratitude. That's what I would leave behind.
I love that. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that we didn't get to cover that you think we absolutely need to know about Me Too, about the work, about you?
Yes. So I'll just say two other things. In February, we launched a global network, which we're really proud of. 130 organizations said yes to joining this network.
Oh,
and so this is, again, taking the work of Me Too beyond the U.S., across borders. And our focus is on, again, women in the global South. And so we are very excited about what this network will do. We've just gone through leadership elections, which is very cool. We have two hubs. We have a Pan-African hub and a Latin American and Caribbean hub. And we're getting ready to move into learning circles. And so this will prepare us to hopefully start to take on collective campaigns. And so we are doing the thing we set out to do, which is like, wow, this is pretty amazing. We had dinner the other night with some of the members from our network who are here from Mexico, from Kenya, from Mali, and from Argentina. And it's like, this is what we dreamed of, and we're doing it. And so we want people to know that this exists and the movement continues. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't hear it in the media, mm-hmm. the movement, it continues. And the last thing I'll say, I mentioned Survivors Sanctuary earlier. Again, that's our self-guided healing platform for survivors of sexual violence. I really encourage people to check it out. It's completely free.
Please give us the actual website yes. for those Googlers yeah. out there.
It's sanctuary.metoomovement. And there are no vowels in movement. It's me too, MVMT.org. And you'll sign up, you can register. It's a very basic account registration. And then we take you through foundational lessons, which introduces you to the website, introduces you to our theory of healing. We have a quick lesson on triggers, because we know we can't avoid being triggered in our mm-hmm. healing journey. We have a lesson on shame, because we understand that shame can be a blocking emotion and can hinder people's healing journey. And then we leave you with a somatic practice as a tool to take in for then you to explore 36 other healing lessons, most of which include either audio or video for you to follow along to. We also have member exclusive resources that are available through Survivors Sanctuary, like therapy vouchers and other content created for survivors by survivors. We also have an anonymous and encrypted survivorship storytelling platform where survivors can share their healing journey. And so whether that's we know that there are ups and downs in that. So it's not only just the moment of trauma or moments of trauma, but what has it been like in between? What has it been like to recover and to restore? And so we invite people to that platform to share that experience and to also encourage other survivors and build empathetic community. And so we really love Survivors Sanctuary. It's something that we're very proud of. And we want as many people around the world to know about it as possible. And because it's going around the world, please know that we're also working on making it multilingual so as many people as possible can benefit.
So I've spent some time on that yeah. website. I think it's incredible. I think the resources are amazing. The ease of access, it just flows. You don't have to be a tech fundie to work through yes. the different parts of the platform. So I want to encourage everyone who's listening to this podcast, if you are a survivor, if you know a survivor, yes. if you're a parent, please have this as a resource for present or future state. Share yes. it with people. Sadly, there's still so many barriers to survivors accessing help.
It's true.
And that barrier often is financial. It's also stigma. There are mm-hmm. cultural barriers. And South Africa's got a really particular cocktail about, you know, how that comes together. Mm-hmm. But people still can't access help. So what your platform offers is that access in the palm of your hand. Particularly for people who really don't have the money to see a psychologist, to stand at the taxi at 4 a.m., yes. to then take the taxi 50 kilometers to the nearest hospital, mm-hmm. to wait in line for the mm-hmm. psychologist who still can't see them that day mm-hmm. because the day is fully booked.
Yep.
And then they just go back home.
Yep. Yep.
So it's such a cool resource. And thank you for putting that together for people. I've referred a few people to it already.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's the thing about the sort of work you do, and you can probably measure your social media metrics and you know your users yeah. participation on different platforms, but you're not sitting there in the middle of the night with that person who's online, who's doing the work by themselves in the dark, mm-hmm. and you don't get to see that.
Yep.
And I think it's often, how do we count lives saved? How do we count people who didn't commit suicide? Yeah. How do we count people who didn't walk out of their family? How do we count people who didn't walk out of a job or just give up on themselves yeah. in some way? We can never actually count the wins.
Nope.
Because the bad thing didn't happen. You can't count the bad things yeah. that then didn't happen. So I want to encourage you to know that your work is profound, and I know you can measure a lot of things, but speaking as the woman sitting alone in the dark by herself doing the work, it's reaching people and it's making a profound difference.
That means something.
And in my view, saving lives.
Thank you. That means a lot. And that's what I mean when I say there's someone who cares about you. There's community there. Online spaces can be both helpful and harmful in that way. And so we're desiring to contribute to those helpful spaces where people can feel seen, even if it's just for a moment.
Yeah. And thank you. Thank you for doing so.
Thank you.
You are fantastic. You look gorgeous. I know we're in a podcast, so I don't know if people are listening or looking.
I was like, oh, I like that. I'd wear
this,
that.
My little onesie. It's going to be great when I need to go to the bathroom later. I'll need 5 extra just lead time.
Get in and out.
I don't know if it was a wise fashion choice for
it's
today.
It's okay. That's step two. Step one, look good.
And look then good.
Step two, we'll figure out the rest.
Rock it out and then figure it out later. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Please enjoy the rest of the forum.
Absolutely.
I heard incredible things about your session in the Brave Room yesterday.
Thank you. That was really wonderful.
The feedback has been phenomenal. The impact of you being here, I think, has been phenomenal. I think the South African GBV space is feeling seen by the international. And whether you know it or not, people are looking to the Me Too movement for that leadership, looking up to the movement for show us the way, because you guys are getting it right and we're still learning.
Yeah.
And so it's just been incredible that you've come to join us in South Africa. And I know it's a global forum, but to have hosted it in Cape Town, which is my mother's city. Yes. I was born here. It's incredible. I'm actually going to run out of words and start crying if I keep going down this road.
I'll just say, but the learning is both ways. We're just as eager to learn from you. Right? We don't know it all. We organize and mobilize in a particular way based upon our context. Mm-hmm. And so we are hungry to learn about other contexts in real time, not just to read about it, but to be in deep community and relationship and understand how you organize, how you do the work you do, how does your context, how does your history impact this issue of gender-based violence and sexual violence. And so, yeah, we're happy to and eager to learn from you. This has been an amazing experience for us.
Awesome. So it's a divine exchange then.
Absolutely.
Love that.
As it should be.
Love that for us. Shashina, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure and privilege to speak to you this morning.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad I got to do this.
So am I. That was Heal Your Mind with me, Tracy Kotzen. Thank you and goodbye.
Heal Your Mind podcast with Tracy Kotzen is hosted by Mental Wellness Initiative and supported by the Ford Foundation.